Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas. Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Saturday morning, so we have open lines. If you have any questions or comments you'd like to share with me or our other listeners, what we've been talking about these past few weeks has been, we've been looking at fear and setting supernatural goals. But if you've got a question on another topic, feel free to either post it in the chat room. We've got the chat room open. You can give us a call here. You can always email me during the week. And this is what most people prefer doing, at Diane@WeCanPrepare.org. And we'll address at least one question a week. This week's question is, we've talked a lot about our relying on scriptures as the authority in our lives, rather than learning to rely on the authority of the author of the scriptures, and recognizing that we say we believe that God is real, and yet we don't act like it. That the difference between our God, our religion, is that our God is alive. That's not true with other faiths. They have their books. They have their beliefs. And yet, how is Christianity different from them? Our God is alive here, now. One of the problems Christians have is they have a tendency to get into a battle of the books. And when you challenge, you know, in dealing with another so-called Christian sect or, you know, cult, people call them cults, or other religions or faiths, or atheism either, even, we get into whose book is true. And I just want to propose that that's the wrong question altogether. But because Christians have been relying on the book or what they've been taught or what they feel or believe or what makes sense to them, unfortunately, all someone has to do to dispel Christianity is discount the book. And in many respects, when we really look at it, how can you convince someone that a book represents your God when the book doesn't even say that it represents your God? When we look at our faith, our beliefs, our religion, what is supposed to make it different is our relationship. And yet, unfortunately, what happens is we instead counter arguments and get into discussions about what our book says versus what someone else's book says. We get into arguing about any number of aspects of what our experience has been in light of scriptures. Let's think about that again. Is God real? That's really the bottom line. Is the God you believe in real? Is the God you believe in alive? Is the God you believe in capable of revealing himself to you? First, let's just deal with that. Is he able? Can God speak for himself? Now, there are, in fact, and unfortunately, many Christians who have been, who have received and had an honest-to-goodness salvation experience, but they don't believe that God can speak for himself. And that those who do hear God speak for himself are deceived. And they put their trust in what has been written down. And we're at this point in time, we're not going to go into a review or critique of the Bible itself, the book itself. Rather, we want to look at what we are relying on. And the question is in regards to if we don't use the scriptures, if we don't have our basis for authority, what are we left with? And isn't that an interesting question? If you were dropped on a deserted island without your Bible, would you be able to have a relationship with God? Would you be able to know him? Would he be able to reveal himself to you? Would he be able to change you, heal you, draw you? Would he be able to give you the information you need? To even get off the island? How detailed? What kind of specific information is he able to give you? Who is your God? What is your God? Is your God truly personal? Now, these are all about his capabilities. Is God able to make himself known to you? Now, I'm going to sort of assume that most Christians are going to say yes. He is able to make himself known to us. Well, then comes the next question. Does he want to? Does God want to make himself known to you? Does God want to keep you from being deceived? Does God want to be in that personal relationship with you? Now, when we talk about knowing Him, and we've got a whole series, so we're not going to spend too much time going into detail, but I want you to think, just sit back and think for a minute. If you could have anything from God, what would you want? If you could have anything from God, what would you want? Let's pretend he's that genie in a bottle. And you rub that bottle and he appeared to you. Except it wasn't a genie. It was your savior, your changer, your God. And he said to you, what do you want? What would you say? Now, many would respond with a request to get them out of a particular situation. Like if you're having health issues, you may ask for healing. If you're having financial issues, you may ask for money. If you're having relationship issues, you may ask God to change someone or to change you. So there are things about ourselves and our situation that often identify what our relationship is with God. And we often are using the scriptures the same way we use that bottle that houses the genie. We feel that if we can just rub it the right way or say the magic words, abracadabra or open sesame, that we can get God to do what we want. Now, God is drawing us by those wants, by those needs, by those desires. And his response, when you say, Lord, I need a healing, I want you to heal me, you answer that question first. What is his response? When you say, God, I need, you know, I'm in a tight bind financially. I need help. I need money. What do you think he's going to say? Go ahead. For right now, and we recognize that this is not him speaking, this is you speaking. But go ahead, for right now, put words in his mouth. What is he saying to you? You may even want to write it down, because this is one of your filters. Does he come back and say, well, you got yourself into this mess, you get yourself out? Is that what you hear him saying? Or is he saying absolutely nothing? Is he silent? Can you not think of anything he would say? He would just stand there and look at you and not give you any answers to your problem. Or would he tell you, well, you need more money? You need to go rob a bank. Or you need to go borrow some money or from your relatives. Or you need to get a loan. Or you need to go rack it up on your credit cards. Or you need to do this, that, or the other thing. Do other ideas come to your mind that maybe you have a question about whether you think maybe that's not such a good idea, or it's illegal or immoral or just plain wrong or impossible? You know, why don't you start a new job? Start a business. Why don't you invent something? Why don't you write a book? Well, you know that, yeah, those are good ideas, but they take a long time. And if you need money right now, that's not going to answer your need. But these are all filters that we have in hearing God, in expecting him to answer. These are things that are going to color our hearing of him. And so we want to be able to not just hear ourselves and hear our filter. We want to know that the voice that we're hearing is God. How do we do that? And then when we hear, how do we test it? Is the burden on us to prove that it's God? Or is the burden on him? Let's be real clear about that. He knows our situation. He knows our level of ability and skill in hearing him. When God talks about how much he loves his church, he's talking about how much he loves you. All of his plans are about you. This is something apparently we have a real hard time accepting. We accept that God saves us because we, as an individual, respond to him. We understand that one person becoming a Christian in the family doesn't mean the whole family is a Christian. We understand that. And yet we have a hard time grasping how important each of us as an individual is to him. We can understand that. I mean, when you think about how hard it is for us to, how much it's been, you know, almost beaten out of us that the individual's not important. It's the group. It's a class of people. You know, whether it's you know, women or a racial or an ethnic or a cultural or special needs or special skill or union or, you know, whatever, all these different categories of people. God doesn't care about any of those. Okay? He really doesn't care what your group is in any way, shape, or form. Young or old, male or female, black or white, earthling or Martian, he doesn't care. Okay, he created you the way you are right now. And he put you in the situation you're in right now so that you would need him. Now, so often, we want to come up with explanations about why and how God does things so we can understand. And really, our purpose for understanding is to control. Let's be real blunt about that. And whenever you hear get the sense of control, that God is doing something and we want to try to get him to do something, we are trying to control him. Whenever you have that sense, I just want to control the circumstances, that's your flesh. That's your self life trying to re-exert its authority over God. Okay, we can just call that a red flag. When you feel out of control, it feels icky, feels very uncomfortable, but very often that's the beginning of being available to hear God on his terms. That's one of the reasons we are so reliant on books and teachings and doctrines and our history and the people in our lives. Because that gives us a sense of control. It's something we can sink our teeth into. You know, these days, unfortunately, to be in the ministry, you have to have gone to seminary and then be ordained and approved by someone. And connected with people and on and on and on. Every group has its own qualifications. And yet none of that testifies to your knowing God. In so many cases, not all, but in so many cases, when you look at those that we would consider leaders in the church, there's a strong probability that many of them do not have a relationship, an ongoing, current, present relationship with God. They may have had a salvation experience where they become a new spirit being, but they've sort of taken the attitude of, well, I can take it from here. Fortunately, God doesn't let us continue with that. Only knowing him satisfies. So how do we do that? How do we test it? Well, first of all, we test it by being able to recognize his voice. How do you recognize anyone's voice? You hang out with them. You've got friends, you've got family, you've got coworkers and either employees or employers, your boss or your people who work for you or with you. When they call, when they talk to you on the phone, or even sometimes when they text, how long does it take to be able to recognize who's on the phone? You know, you're, hey, it's me. How long does it take you to go, okay, now who's me? If it's someone you're close to and someone you talk to on the phone a lot, odds are by, hey, you know who it is. And it's not because you've studied or you can predict what they're going to say, or it's not a reflection on you, in other words, that you can recognize their voice. It's simply from familiarity. You've talked with that person a lot of times before. You've had conversations. You're familiar with that voice. Don't be putting off till the sweet by and by to talk with him again. So many people unfortunately believe that you have a salvation experience and then you work to keep yourself in a good place until you die, and then you go to heaven and then you see God again. That is so unsatisfying for both God and us, and that's not his desire. And here's how you find out. You ask. You go, God, if you want me to, I want more of you. Or I used to say, Lord, don't let me be satisfied with anything less than what you want me to have. Let me repeat that. Lord, and you can repeat it with me if you'd like. Lord, don't let me be satisfied with anything less than everything you want me to have right now. Now realize in your life the good things, the bad things, the hard things, the challenging things, the blessings, the rest, they are all part of God not letting you be satisfied with less than everything he has for you right now. The idea of his love for you then seeps over into the whole idea of, well, how do I know if I'm going to be deceived or not? How do I keep from getting deceived? You know him. You know his voice. Let me tell you, what's odd is you're more likely to accuse God of trying to deceive you than the enemy. When you know the true voice, you don't need to worry about knowing all about the different other voices. And here's, it's very simple. It's not easy because sometimes this, we have to be aware and increase our awareness by being with God. And if you need more information on this, either email me or go through the archives on specifically how to know God and how to hear his voice. We're dealing with that on Thursday mornings. But test his voice, Lord. Is that you? Now, if you only do that once a month, odds are you're not going to get an answer. And if you're not dealing with your stuff, you're going to get a confusing answer. And if you're not willing to let go of your own beliefs, you're not going to get an answer from him. Because you're not starting with a clean slate. You've got filters. It's like you're out in a snowstorm with earmuffs and the coat pulled over your head and people are calling your name. But you can't hear because you've got all this other stuff going on. So God says, come inside with me and I will teach you how to hear me. He will clear out your ears, clean out your ears, and spend so much time with him that even when he whispers, you can recognize his voice. And we've got a caller coming in. Our show's coming to an end, so I'll see if we can have this program, this show, this call come in. So let's go ahead and try. Area code 215, you're on air. How can we help?
Oh, good morning, Diane. This is Sherry Jones.
Hey, Sherry. Good to hear you.
Yeah, good to hear you. It's been a while.
Yes. I've been thinking about you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, I had trouble getting on the chat. So I kept going off and on. But.
Yeah, it did look like there was some technical difficulties. We've got some Trojans associated with Blog Talk Radio, and they keep on trying to attack during chats, which is fun. I'm glad you made it through.
Yeah, I made it through, and I heard what you were speaking about, and I've been lately dealing, well, not dealing with any. It's like this. I was a TV watcher. I watched TV. I was an information gatherer, you know, just picking up a whole lot of things and reading.
Yeah.
And never practicing.
Yeah.
And so the Lord, like, he made me dissatisfied with the TV and collecting information. I had to put all my piles of papers away and all my thousands of books because I had these stacks of books, and I said, okay, I'm going to read A.W. Tozer again.
I'm going to read
Victory Over Darkness and, you know, T. Austin Sparks. I remember reading it, so I was going to go back to the old timers and I was going to read them, and I thought that was going to be good, and then I can't do it.
So,
I mean, I love to read, and then I couldn't stand to read, and I couldn't stand to look at the TV, and I asked, Lord, what's going on? What was this about? And so I had this dream, and the word cleanse was written on the pavement in these yellow blocks. So a friend of mine said, has the Lord spoken to you about what's going on? And I said, no, not really. And I said, and then I said, oh, no. oh, the dream. And it hit me after the dream. So then I looked up cleanse, and it says to remove dirt from the surface, to remove impurities from within. And then there was this, I don't know why this dictionary had this, to free from sin or its effect.
Yeah.
And then I looked at all the synonyms like bathe, clean, wash, scrub, refine, disinfect, purge, purify, absolve, and restore. And I said, okay, all right. I understand.
Yeah. Well, here's what we're probably one of the things, once we get a lot of this information out there, we're going to spend a lot of our time dealing with exactly these kinds of practical issues. We do have a little different approach to dream interpretation.
Okay.
So I'm just going to, I know, you know, you get a lot of this stuff, so we're just going to move on that assumption. So I'm just going to ask you some questions.
Okay.
When you woke up from the dream, did you ask God if it was from him?
No, I didn't ask. I sort of...
Okay, well, let's
like
do
a,
that. Let's do that right now. Okay. Lord, was that dream from you? And you just tell me what he says.
Lord, was that dream from you? Yes.
Okay. And then we're just going to test it real quick just for the benefit of anybody else listening. Lord, is that you? And what does he say?
So no.
Okay.
I'm confused.
We're going to test him again. Lord, is that you?
Lord, is that you? No.
Okay. How does that make you feel? What is your response to that? I mean, you said you're confused. Is that a good confused, or are you kind of, is that kind of upsetting?
No, it's not upsetting.
Okay, good. Then, Lord, was this dream from the enemy?
Was this dream from the enemy?
Oh, you know, let's clarify that. Lord, which enemy was this from? The world, the flesh, or the devil?
Which enemy was this from? The world, the flesh, or the devil?
And what's coming?
The world.
The world. Okay. So now, Lord, is this something she just needs to develop a habit, redevelop a habit, or is this something she needs to take authority over?
Is this something? Say that again. Is this something?
Okay,
what?
Is just you need to develop a new habit.
Do I need to redevelop a new habit?
Or take authority over it.
Or take authority over it.
Yes.
Take authority over it.
Okay, so let's just do that. Lord, we take authority and we command the world's intrusion to stop.
Lord, we take authority and you say command or demand?
We command.
We command.
The intrusion to stop.
The intrusion to stop.
Yes. Okay. Now, mm-hmm. what you also want to do is look at, there's an area there where you want to make sure that when you do have dreams,
mm-hmm.
that there you don't have that intrusion. So rather than cleaning up afterwards, you want to prevent mm-hmm. it. And just a great way to do that is before you go to bed,
mm-hmm.
just say, Lord, you know, if you want to come visit me, I'd love to hear from you.
Okay.
Yeah. Simple
mm-hmm.
as that. And that way you're sort of setting your mind on having an expectation of hearing from God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that certainly doesn't mean, and it's certainly not a reflection on anything, that if the world intrudes again,
okay.
or the flesh intrudes again, or the enemy intrudes again, the devil, because
yeah.
that's why they're called our enemies.
That's interesting, because I know I had a dream that was very, it was very dark. And why it was dark to me is because I had two people in the dream accuse me so heavily. And I can't remember exactly what, but when I woke up, I felt like I was wrong. I was bad, you know.
Yeah.
Something was wrong with me.
Condemnation, yeah.
Yeah, it was condemnation. It was so heavy that it took me a couple of days to shake it, and it was just from the dream.
Yeah. And this
but
is
I never, I, but with the question you have, you
right.
asked me, I go with the emotions and don't ask the Lord
right.
about.
And this is where we want to be very, and this is where, be very objective. And
mm-hmm.
this is where we want to have that high standard of being able to be objective, rather
mm-hmm.
than, okay, assuming that because God's in it, or because
mm-hmm.
it's about scriptures, or it's about this, that, or the church, that it's
mm-hmm.
from God. We
mm-hmm.
want to start with asking. And how simple is that?
That's so simple.
And
yeah.
and when we learn instead of the answers, we learn the questions.
Mm-hmm.
What this does now is this turns you back to God.
Yeah.
Okay? Now you mm-hmm. know that you're hearing Him,
mm-hmm.
that you're... It's not about cleansing. You're not distracted by
mm-hmm.
going, okay, this is an area I need to be cleansed in, or is this an area? That's
mm-hmm.
all a distraction.
Oh.
Okay? And that's what the world does. That's all our enemies do, is keep us...
Distract.
Right. From depending on God. That's
all
God...
That's interesting, because what happened was after... yesterday, I just came home and said, okay, I understand what the cleansing piece about, but what do I do? Because
yeah.
I was coming home, not looking at TV, not reading anything, and I'm reading the scripture sometimes, or just sitting on the computer maybe,
yeah.
and not doing that, or and I got to a point that I didn't want to come home.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And so I said, okay, I'm coming home, but we're going to have a talk because I need to know what am I supposed to be doing,
yeah.
right,
yeah.
what's going on. And so I had a time, mainly worship. It was just worship.
Yeah.
But I didn't ask him. I did ask him. I really did ask him, but I guess, I don't know.
Well, sometimes this is the thing, is we need to redevelop just personal skills. You
uh-huh.
know, when you're not used to, you know, and that's very often what, you know, why we have a guidance counselor, you know, the Holy
uh-huh.
Spirit. He's a guidance counselor to help us to know what questions to ask.
Yeah.
And he's to be able to distinguish between our feelings and our intuition, which are God-given gifts. There's nothing
mm-hmm.
wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there's a difference between those and the revealing of God.
Okay.
And the drawing of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you're going to be able to make that distinction is by experience. So it's over time, spending more and more time with him, that he sharpens your vision, your skill, your ability to discern between that which is spiritual and that which
mm-hmm.
is soulical.
Yes.
Again, there's nothing wrong with this intuition and emotion.
Mm-hmm.
It's just when we rely on them to tell us whether something is from God, whether it feels right, for instance,
mm-hmm.
that keeps us from seeking out and waiting for truth. Truth with a capital T, who God
mm-hmm.
is.
Mm-hmm.
So now, have you asked him specifically what you're supposed to be doing with your time?
That's what I was doing. That's what I did last night, I thought. But I don't think I asked that question. I don't think it asked specifically what I was doing. The one
okay.
thing I know, after the time of worship and everything, and I was making dinner and all that, I said, can I look at TV tonight?
You
know? And it was funny because I, you know, I felt like it was okay to look at TV, and I looked at TV, and then it was nothing on. It was
yeah.
really nothing on that interested me, and so I looked at it for a minute or something, or looked at the news, and then I turned it off.
Uh-huh.
And so
well, one thing
I read a little in the scriptures, and that's
that
it.
Didn't work either. Yeah.
I was on the internet. It did work because I had been dealing also with this thing of fear that
uh-huh.
had come back on my life, and I was dealing with the fear, and so I went to the scriptures because I just knew that, you know, there were some scriptures that would help me with that. And so one of them I found was the 1 Corinthians 15, and that was very helpful to know that I had victory over death.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Because the fear was actually of death. It was, you know, the bottom line was, what was I fearful of?
Uh-huh.
And everything it was fearful of was death or pain.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, join the club.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
What's
you know, but people don't talk about that.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, because here's the
thing
is getting that answer isn't
uh-huh.
doesn't change you.
No, it doesn't, because I'm on I ride the bus and trains a lot. I'm not driving a car.
Uh-huh.
And so all of a sudden, the last couple of weeks, I've been dealing with this fear of the trains crashing.
Yeah.
And I mean dread, to the point,
right.
One time I was sitting on the inside of a seat and somebody was sitting next to me, and I almost got up. And because I couldn't stand, I was like being closed in,
yeah.
and that was making it worse.
Right.
And so I kept...
Well, do you want to deal with that? You want to get to the surface, to the bottom of that?
Sure.
That's the kind of thing that once it has a root...
Yeah.
Now, those are the kinds of things that are going to be multi-level, because that you're vulnerable to that fear because of a
mm-hmm.
wound. Okay?
Because of a what?
A wound.
Oh.
W-O-U-N-D.
Okay.
You've been
yeah,
hurt
I got
somewhere.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that wound, somewhere, vulnerability, and very often they're not associated. Okay? It may not have
mm-hmm.
anything to do with trains or fear or death or anything. But you, when we are wounded, if we don't go to God to get healed, we form a lie. We believe a lie about ourselves, about
mm-hmm.
God, or about others. For instance, something may have happened to you when you were a little girl, and you believed that no one would protect you. And this is just, we're going to ask God. And then now that makes you vulnerable to the lies of the enemy, that, you know, God's not going to do anything to protect you, or that he's going to get you, or something's going to get you.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just ask.
Okay.
So, and you really don't have to repeat the question. You
okay.
can just let God answer. Okay? Because
mm-hmm.
he knows what we're doing here. Okay?
Okay. Okay. All right.
He's multiplanal. He can be in many, many, many places. Okay? So, Lord, we're just going to ask him first if the timing is right. And so, Lord, Is it okay if we dealt with this fear situation right now? And you should just get a yes or no.
Yes.
Okay, Lord, is that you?
Yes.
Okay, so we're just gonna ask one more time. Lord, is that you?
Yes.
Okay. Lord, what is this fear an attack from the enemy, from the world, the flesh, or the devil? Wait a minute. Let's start farther back.
Okay.
Lord, is this fear from you?
No.
Okay. Lord, is this from the world, the flesh, or the devil?
I'm not hearing clearly on that one.
Okay. Lord, is there a natural fear involved? You're not hearing clearly on this one either.
No.
Okay.
No.
Lord, is there interference? And you're not hearing clearly on that. So we're going to assume that there's interference.
Yeah.
Okay. So, which is not at all surprising. It's kind of assumed because if you're being interfered with the fear, you're going to be interfered with getting rid of the fear.
Okay.
So
yeah.
We are going.
Yeah, I can feel it in my chest.
Yes.
That's
we're just going to automatically take authority over it and work our way through it. Okay. This is where we learn it's okay to make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just going to try and try. And come back and try and come back. Okay, so
okay.
Lord, we just take authority over any and all interference that is keeping Sherry from being able to hear you. And we take authority over that right now. For all those things that don't have a legal right to interfere, you must go now. For anything that has a legal right to be there, you can stay. But you cannot interfere. You cannot keep Sherry from being able to hear. So we're going to ask again, Lord, is this interference something we can take authority over?
Yes.
Okay. So is that interference, Lord, is that interference gone?
Yes.
Okay. So what we did right there, Sherry, and you might want to, hopefully this is recording and you can come back and listen, is things in our life, there are things that are bothering us from the world, the flesh, and the devil that we have authority over, and things that we don't because we've given them a legal right.
Oh.
Okay? So you can ask them. You can go, do you have a legal right to be here? And they will say yes or no. You remember, you're a spirit being. You have authority over them. Okay? So you can command them unless you've given them permission to be there. And that then they have a legal right to be there.
Okay.
But then they have to tell you what that legal right is. Okay? And you all you have to do is ask them, you know, what is your legal right to be here? And they will tell you. And this is where you can get into the very specific. And this is why there's no blanket answers.
Okay.
This is something you and I and every one of us has to learn how to hear from God. Because he may say, well, because your mother, you know, did something when she was young, this is a generational lie that has been passed on from generation to generation, and you inherited it. But he can point that out, and he can, and sometimes he's very specific, and sometimes he's very general. But, and we'll go into that some other point in time. But let's go ahead and finish where we're at now.
Okay.
So Lord, the interference has been dealt with. Lord, is that fear still something that we need to deal with, or is that interference gone and the fear gone? So Lord, do we need to continue in dealing with the fear? So it's a yes or no.
Yes.
Okay. So, Lord, is the fear from the world, the flesh, or the devil?
The world.
The world, okay. So, Lord, what aspect of the world, is it something that Sherry is believing that is making her vulnerable to the fear?
Yes.
Okay. Lord, bring to her memory, her thoughts, her mind, what it is that is the source of that world fear. And just whatever pops into your head. Remember, we don't need to spend a lot of time.
Right. I mean, there's one. When I first heard it, it just sounds silly.
Yeah, go ahead. That's probably right then.
It sounded silly because it was so long ago, and I was a child, and I was on the Ferris wheel. And my parents left me, and it was a very high, you know how they go up and down, and when they end up, they're very high.
Yes, I don't go on Ferris wheels.
Yeah, and I couldn't get off as a child.
So it's that same feeling, and you're feeling out of control and vulnerable.
Yeah.
So let's deal with that. Lord, is this a wound that you want to heal?
Yes.
Okay. Lord, we ask you now to heal that wound. And Lord, is there any lie associated with that wound that is making Sherry vulnerable? We just ask you to bring that lie to Sherry's mind, her thoughts right now.
I'm not protected.
Okay. So Lord, what is your truth?
That I'm covered.
There you go. You're protected.
I'm protected.
He's got your back.
He's got my back.
Okay. Now, who did you hear that from? You heard that from God.
I heard that from God.
Okay. So it's not about, yes, it's great. He healed your wound, and he's brought this to the surface, and he showed you what the root is. But you heard from God. He's got you covered. He's got your back. He's protecting you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's just check. Lord, is that fear taken care of, or do we need to continue to pursue this?
Need to pursue.
Okay. Lord, bring to Sherry's mind any other area that you want to talk to her about in relationship to this fear.
My mom.
Okay. Lord, is there a wound there in relationship to her mom that you want to heal?
Yes.
Okay. Lord, we just ask that you heal that wound. And, Lord, is there any lie associated with her mom?
It is of death.
Okay. So, Lord, we just, what is your truth? Ask for your truth. What is your truth about that?
I have victory over that.
Okay. Okay. So, Lord, you've healed that wound and you've exposed your truth. Lord, is there anything else we need to deal with about Sherry's mom?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Lord, bring that to the surface.
Giving up too easy.
That your mom gave up too easy, or that you gave up
mm-hmm.
too easy? That your mom
gave up too easy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
she
Lord, what was,
up.
Yeah, what is the lie that arose from that?
I don't hear clearly on that.
Okay, well, I'm kind of hearing that you weren't worth it. And that's why she gave up.
Oh, that hurt.
I got that one, so.
Yeah. That
Okay, but that's definitely a lie. It's a lie. And your mom didn't believe that either. She was doing the best she could. Okay?
Yeah,
but,
that
Lord,
so
what's your truth? What's your truth for Sherry?
I don't know.
Okay, this is where we need to, you probably need to spend some time with him. This
mm-hmm.
is probably a lot of the purpose of your downtime right now.
Okay.
Is letting him speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about personally about your mom.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the lies that have turned into wounds that you've come to believe about who you are. So you want to go through these steps with God.
Mm-hmm.
God, what is
mm-hmm.
it? And keep on going. And generally speaking, our wounds do come from our parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in our formative years, we determine who we are.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lord, is this something you want to talk to Sherry one-on-one about?
Yes.
Okay. So you can that's what he wants, is the time to talk.
That's the time. That's the lesson you said before you stopped talking.
Yeah.
You're talking about that time.
Yes. So it's can be, you know, that good kind of icky pain, but
mm-hmm.
you know, okay, you've hit the root. You know, you're down to where this work will really make a difference.
Yes.
So it's worth the effort and the discomfort because you
mm-hmm.
know he's bringing healing to that wound and will
mm-hmm.
set you free in areas where you didn't even know. It's sort of like, you know, when you are playing that game Jenga. Okay?
Yeah.
You move the one piece and it all falls down.
It all falls down.
That's what God does by this. Is he takes us to the one piece. Rather than dealing with all the top pieces and peeling
mm-hmm.
off one thing at a time, he goes to sometimes he goes to the very root that once that dries up, the whole plant dries up. The whole weed dries up. And that makes room for the seeds that he's planted of
mm-hmm.
revelation and blessing and peace in your life gives them
mm-hmm.
room to grow. And a lot of times they don't connect. So you may find God taking you to things about your mom and about other areas, about other healings he wants to bring to you that
mm-hmm.
aren't at all related to the effect they're having in your life.
Okay.
In other words, he may heal you in an area where all of a sudden your anger towards someone
mm-hmm.
is no longer there.
Yeah.
And what he'll do, what's really cool, is he will bring that to your attention. He'll go, you'll notice, oh my gosh, that person used to just drive me nuts, and now they're just like, I could go out to lunch with them. And you go, okay, and he takes credit for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's because he's changed you. He's healed you. It's not because you've had to go through any kind of machination or change or habit.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
because he's freed you. And what's fun is then you'll want to do this more. And
okay.
that's such an assurance that it's from him. Because none of your enemies want you to be around God. Okay? That's their goal,
yeah.
is to keep
yeah.
you from him. So that's an assurance when anything draws you to him,
mm-hmm.
you know it's from him.
Okay.
Okay? So just go through that process.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be going through in the regular Monday, Tuesday, and Thursdays, we'll be going through very detailed, but it's basically what we did here.
Okay.
Is being objective, asking God, putting the questions in yes or no form so we can hear clearly, but letting him speak for himself, testing
mm-hmm.
it, but then being objective about it, letting him be the God.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Lord, yeah. Is there anything else we need to address during this time this morning?
No.
Okay. Lord, is that you?
Yes.
Great. Okay. See, and you can do that. You can, you know, and you can put things on hold. You know, Lord, I have to go now and do something else. You know, I have an appointment. Can we pick this up when I get back from this appointment? And yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. He's a nice guy. You know, when we give, when we increase our awareness of him, he is always talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 24/7, he's always talking to you. But he realizes we need to be about our business.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be doing calculus. You know, we need to be driving our brain surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So he draws back. But then when we invite him back in, he's right there.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
So it was so good hearing from you again. I haven't been thinking about you a lot lately, so I'm so glad you could call in. And
yeah.
You've got my email address, so if you want to.
I sure do.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thanks so much for calling in, and have a great day.
Have a great day, Diane. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.